Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
That's like our show. It just moves fast. Because you know what, Bart? We're already in hour number three.
Oh,
hour number three.
Well, let me say it straight up.
Yeah. No. Stretch out.
Put my chest out like a peacock.
Now, how did things go? You see, yeah, I've so hated the fact that I missed yesterday's show, all because of the excitement of the Aaron Rodgers announcement that he intends to play for the Jets and all that stuff. And Dan was here. We know that Dan in the past, as much as we love him, he finds a way to just completely fumble the power hour. There's just an awkwardness about it that goes beyond my own awkwardness, which, you know, like, I lean into my awkwardness. So this is such an important part of the show. So I want to tell you something. Yesterday, getting off the plane, I'm surrounded by all the Knick players and organization, right? We're getting off the flight. And in the charters, you get off the plane, down the stairs, onto the tarmac, and then your bags come off on basically the treadmill and the conveyor, and it comes down, and you just grab your bag. So all the players are standing there. It's windy as hell. And one of the workers there turns around, sees me, and, like, pushes players out of his way and goes, I got to shake this guy's hand. Let me shake this man's hand. And I got players looking at me like, what the hell is this? Like, because they're used to the ones being the famous guys. And he shakes me and he goes, I listen to your show every day. He said, and he said this, I don't always agree with you, but I love your show. And I listen to it every day. I love Bart. His name is Garth. Hardworking man, obviously.
What up, Garth?
And he was just happy to say how much he loves listening to the show. And I said to him, if we all agreed, it'd be boring. Like, we're supposed to disagree, and that's all right. But I appreciated Garth for just taking that moment to let us know how much he likes our show. And so, oh, by the way,
so he pushed the scrubs away to talk to the real
star.
Out
right.
of his eye.
He was like, hey, Julius Randle, get out of the way. I got to go talk to this guy. He didn't actually do that, but I like that image anyway. But in L.A., Bart,
Julius spent and moved on. Yeah. Like, I knew you were going to spin.
RJ, do me a favor. Can you step aside so I can get to him? No, so L.A. was the same way, man. L.A., whether it was a couple of times down at L.A. Live or in the arena, how many people I came across that talk about how much they love listening to the show. They still listen to it out there. They use the live streaming at this point. They don't get us out there anymore, but they listen live streaming. A lot of New Yorkers out there, big Knicks fans, football fans, everything else. And it was great catching up with all of them as well. So I just wanted you to know, we still get that love all around the country. But
what's Step Brothers worldwide?
Yeah. Prestige.
We go to the cat
worldwide.
Leader. What we call it? The cat leader. The Catalina.
Yes. Yeah. The wine. The Catalina Wine Festival. Right. So let's see how things sounded yesterday, because we can't have this.
It's the
This is so tough. Listen.
Go to sleep, Brady.
Go to sleep. Breathe, dog. I told you I saw Denzel, right, on Sunday?
I know. He's like, yeah.
And then Dan did this.
What the hell? He just broke the gong.
And let's see. So yesterday, let's see how you made it sound yesterday.
It's the Rodgers hour, 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 hour.
12 times.
Hour, 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 hour. Okay, Doc, because I got to watch Rodgers win a Super Bowl.
All right. So that's how it went down yesterday without me.
Yeah.
But right now, before we get back to calls and everything else, it is hour number three. It is Bart and Han. And when it's hour number three on Bart and Han, Bart Scott, what's that mean?
It's the power hour, 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 hour.
go back to the original.
You know what I liked? You went baritone.
Yeah, I went deep voice on you.
You would seal my chest.
My son, what?
That's like exactly.
What is this McDowell's?
It is the power hour.
Put my chest out like a peacock.
Please, he's beneath me. You don't have to buy me off, Jack.
So we're in between two different like moods here, right? We are in the euphoria of Aaron Rodgers and the Jets and the impending, you know, arrival of him as the starting quarterback. There is still the idea of compensation, what needs to be done, but you're already adding Alan Lazard to the mix. It could be Odell Beckham Jr. Wouldn't that be interesting? He's been tweeting about his recovery. Apparently, he's talking a lot with the Cowboys, so we'll see if the Jets have competition. But if Aaron Rodgers says, I'd like to play with that guy, and Odell, they've had a mutual respect for each other and admiration for a long time, you would think Odell would look at New York as a possibility. But maybe the money is better in Dallas, so we shall see. Because they have made some very interesting moves in Dallas, by the way. No more Zeke. He's out.
Yeah, man.
Trying to save some money. So we'll see if that happens.
Bobby Wagner, too.
So, you know, that's the euphoria side. But then there's the other side, which is the news, what we saw last night, and then the news that kind of confirmed what we all thought was the reality of last night, which is Edwin Diaz getting injured in World Baseball Classic celebration after the game. And it wasn't like he was acting up. It was literally just a group hug. He just stepped the wrong way, and Billy Epler, the GM of the Mets, informed us a little while ago that he has suffered a patella tendon injury. He will have surgery today, and he will be out for 8 months, which basically means he's going to miss the season. So you're balancing both of these emotions on the very same day. But as I said, we're also trying to have fun. And in the midst of that fun, what we want to do is say, okay, what Roger said yesterday, for me, because I wasn't here yesterday to celebrate it with you, was one of the best things I've ever heard said in Jets history. And the very first one is clearly the most obvious one.
I got news for you, buddy. We're going to win the game, I guarantee you.
You remember that, of course, famously before the Super Bowl in 1969, and they went out and won that Super Bowl. Then, of course, to me, number two.
Can't wait.
I mean, come on. How could anything better than that? After beating the Patriots in Foxborough, you walk off that field. It's you and Sal Palantonio, and you say those famous words. I felt like this should be number three.
I made it clear that my intention was to play, and my intention was to play for the New York Jets.
You know what that make you feel? You know what that make me sound like? What it really sound like now that I listen to it?
What?
Yeah. We only got one thing to do. Go win the whole damn thing. You can hear Pat Mac
major,
in the back.
Major League.
Yeah.
Major League, right?
Yeah.
Guess Let's we should just it. Win the whole damn thing. Love that. So if there are others on the list, what should they be for you? 800-919-3776. Let's see. Let's go to Darren in New York. Darren.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
All right. I got this real quick, too. Both by Herm Edwards, the mm-hmm. one where he ranted and said, don't press send, and the other one where he ranted and said, put your name on it. That's my two. I love those two for the Jets.
Put your name on it. All right, the don't press send, I don't think he was the Jets coach. But the put your name on it, of course,
That's Kansas City.
Yeah, there was rumors and stuff, and he wanted somebody to put their name on it. All right, Don and Patterson. Don, what do you got for us?
What's going on, guys? One of my favorites of all time is definitely Tony Richardson when he's on the podium saying J-E-T-E.
Hey, hey, hey. Damn.
The New York J-E-T-E Jets. That's disrespectful, man. Listen, Tony Richardson had a bad moment. He has a master's degree, man. Don't be out there doing it to my boy Morris Chestnut like that.
I mean, come on. That was funny, though. But that was one of those moments where we all facepalmed because that was such a Jet moment, you know, like the sad Jet moment. Now, the Herm one is obvious.
Hello, you play to win the game.
That's obvious, that one. I mean, you talk about a famous moment. That was a famous moment. And so, you know, there's several others. So we'll keep taking your calls on that. 800-919-3776. And again, we could also talk about the compensation and what the Jets should be giving up in this whole thing. As well, but
no Knicks today.
You want to get to Knicks? We can get to Knicks at some point.
Don't they play tonight?
No, Saturday. We got a couple of days off now.
Damn. Dude, come off from that long road trip.
Yo, just got back last night, man. You need a minute. I mean, can we get a minute?
Forget how to play basketball.
I hope not.
That's why baseball guys are tougher than basketball. They play every day.
All right, but we do have Billy Epler, the GM of the Mets. We can get everything from him right here, right now. So let's do that. And again, we'll reset the calls as we get him stacked, racked, and ready to go. So here's Epler talking about, here's the official now update on Edwin Diaz, the injury and the recovery.
After that happened on the field, did a clinical exam. One of our doctors, Dr. Carr, was on property down in Miami. So he called me from the clubhouse after he, you know, was able to give Edwin a clinical exam and said it looked pretty textbook for a patellar tendon injury, and that imaging today would confirm that or, you know, point us in a different direction. So Edwin had imaging today around noon, and it was pretty straightforward, pretty black and white. So Dr. Alchek called me, as well as Dr. Galata. We talked through the diagnosis and what the treatments are. So in Edwin's case, this is something that's treated by surgery. So he's going to have surgery this afternoon. You know, generally the longer that you wait, the more scarring that can happen, and the more scarring that can happen can just add to the surgical process. So he'll get that done this afternoon.
No waste any time at all, obviously. All right, so how long will he be out?
As far as a general timeline, because we can't really give specifics, because it depends on what they see when they go in for the surgery and then what the days after look like. So I'm just going to give general timeline. General timeline for a surgery like this is about 8 months. There are instances where athletes have come back earlier, more around the 6 month mark, but those are a little bit more of the exception than the rule.
Yeah, and those are aggressive to me. That would be aggressive to come back sooner than that, especially Bart. I just look at it as a pitcher who, you know, the legs are everything in your pitching. The legs are everything. And so if that leg isn't really 100% or if he's coming back sooner rather than later, you know, you got to think about building the leg back up. Never mind, the repair is one thing. It's the atrophy and everything else. It's the, you know, the range of motion. There's so many different things when it comes to the knee that to consider him coming back and being effective when it matters most in October, like that I think that's asking a lot. So in that case, as we talked to Buster Olney about this, and let's hear from Billy Epler next, the GM of the Mets, about what they do now at closer, which for them was such a strength last year.
We built a bullpen that we walked into the year on paper that felt was pretty deep. You know, I think I've talked to a number of you about having, you know, five high leverage relievers and what that usually lends itself to. So, you know, we're in a spot where we have guys that have a good amount of closing experience on our roster right now. But as far as the immediate, you know, that's going to be the conversations that Buck and myself and Hefner have as spring rolls on and we roll into the season about how we'll manage it or how they'll manage it, you know, game to game. It's going to give opportunities for other people. You know, I know we've seen some good performances by some of the other guys that have been in camp this year. And so we'll see where we're at with some of the other candidates here.
I mean, I think that makes sense. You assess what you have first and then you see where the need lies. And if they can get David Robertson to sort of fill that role, even though it wouldn't be nearly as effective, he certainly has done it plenty of times throughout his career, just, you know, was a high leverage reliever for the Phillies in their run, that maybe you go there and then you have to instead get another middle reliever that sort of pushes everybody up, Adam Ottavino. You know, they could go after Zach Britton. You know, those are options for them. But it just sounds like right now they're going to see what they've got. They've got 2 weeks before opening day, figure it out, and then assess as the season goes on.
I mean, he sounds pretty calm, man. That's what you want, right? Whether he's calm or not, attitude reflects leadership, and the leadership is saying, hey, we'll be okay. Don't let this derail. Everything that we want is still possible and still in front of us. Let's just step back, take a breath. Let's assess. Let's give opportunities to our guys first, and you understand that once we recognize we need something, know that we have an owner, we have a manager that'll go out and get it. And so, you know, you don't want panic and, you know, everybody speed up their process, but it's going to attack some other people. So, not one reliever comes up and replaces a guy that has been playing that exceptional, you know. So it has to be a collective effort. So who's ready for an opportunity? I mean, we see this all the time in sports. It's high leverage, but somebody's going to step up and become a fan favorite.
Yeah, it's going to become an issue that they'll have to address somewhere else. Now, Buster Olney was on with us earlier in the show, and we asked him because we kind of debated it during the break about, you know, the importance of a closer, like not what it used to be, although Diaz was just so valuable to them last year. And here's what Buster said about, the, you know, how critical a closer is for a team that's trying to win a championship.
You can find placements for relievers more than in any other spot. There's such volatility in performance. There's such a volume of players. That's a part of the team that you can fix. The Washington Nationals, midseason 2019, had the worst bullpen in baseball, and they walked off with the championship at the end. Daniel Hudson, who they added during the year, you know, wound up throwing the last pitch of that season. But you can't apply generally to the Mets situation because Edwin Diaz is by far the best reliever in baseball. Struck out almost exactly 50% of the batters he faced last year. You guys know the stat, wins above replacement WAR. He was at 3.0 WAR. The next closest reliever was at 2.4. So in some respects, it's like, you know, imagine if this happened with the Yankees back in the day. Yeah, you could find someone who would fill the role in place of Mariano Rivera. You can't replace Mariano Rivera, and you can't replace Edwin Diaz.
That's going to be, Bart, the thing over the next couple of months at the start of this season that Billy Epler clearly had just said that they're going to assess. But that's a big deal because you could say, well, we've got relievers and they've gone through this, but it's a lot different than just having that guy that you can rely on in those one-run games that just it secures a win. And what a difference it is to go, we're up one, we gave up a run in the ninth, and now we're going into extras with the dopey guy on second base. You know what I mean? And now all of a sudden, it's almost like it's like losing in the shootout in hockey. You know, it's just stupid stuff like that where you feel like I want to lock down the win. And how many of those wins that would have been locked down by him turn into losses because he's not there? And that is, I think, something that we're going to have to monitor here. Now, their offense could be good enough, or their starting pitching could be good enough that it doesn't matter. But remember their offense last year. And they really have the same lineup as they did last year.
And when Marte got hurt, man, it was
catastrophic. Right. So that's something, like I said, it's something to watch. And I don't think you wait too long if you're the Mets. But there aren't many options, and there certainly aren't any options out there as good as what he would have brought them this year. So no Narcos, no Timmy Trumpet, no Edwin Diaz. For a season where the Mets really were in the conversation as a World Series favorite.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
The Diaz news is obviously big news. Today, out for the season, it's official. So the Mets now have to move on.
It's something that we missed out on that you were there. We didn't get your opinion, but I was talking to Dan about.
Uh-huh.
And really what we're talking about, you talk about you paying Bobby Brown, talking about it's my prerogative.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, is that what Tibbs is saying? It's my prerogative to pay you as long as I think I need to pay you because I don't have to go on no load management to get you guys ready because it looked like a lot of guys had tired legs throughout that break. You think that maybe that the minutes are starting to add up, but because you guys have this extended break after a long road trip, do you think that he continues to push his horses or will he pull some guys back?
No, he's not pulling anybody back. They have 11 games to go, Bart. They are 11 games over.
Though, right?
They're 11 games over 500. They're in fifth place. They're three out of fourth place. But you're trying to lock into the four or five, right? Now, fourth would be great if you can get home court. But right now, where they are is they're trying to hold on to fifth. Now, Yes, you get these 2 days off. And for a couple of games there, they won the nine in a row. They came back from that really exhausting but yet exhilarating weekend where they won in Miami on a Friday, then won in Boston on a Sunday. Came home just for a day before they were going back on the road again. And they just, you could see it. They looked a little weary playing against the Charlotte Hornets. They still had a chance to win that game, which is crazy. But they just didn't have enough in the tank. And they didn't have Jalen Brunson. And so they lose that game. Then they go on the road, and the Kings game, you could see it again. First half, they looked flat. They just looked like they didn't have anything again. And as they fought back, which is what they do because their depth now is starting to show, Josh Hart has been such an addition, but the bench has been really good because of him and because of, you know, some inspired play from others as well. And so they, again, another game they could have won. They were tied late, could have won it, didn't. The Clipper game was the same thing. It was a brutal, physical game. They had a chance to take the lead into the fourth quarter. Julius Randle really has struggled with his shot. He looks like the minutes are catching up to him. He hasn't missed a game yet, by the way. He's played 71 games already. He's the only player in the league that's played every game. I think it's him and like Isaiah Hartenstein, actually. I don't think anybody else, if I'm not mistaken, has played every game this season. So
that would be correct.
He looks like, you know, the minutes, just the exhaustion, the mental exhaustion of the season can get to you, right? So with that in mind, they still beat the Lakers because of him. And then they end up, and he didn't play great. You know, his numbers weren't great, but he did just enough to win the game. And then in Portland, once again, the bench just turns it on, thanks to Josh Hart. And then they win. Now they've won two, and it's 11 of 14. So you think Tibbs is going to look at this and go, all right, let me back it off? Hell no.
No, I guess what I'm saying.
They're going to drive this thing all the way to the finish and get the highest seed they possibly can and get the best matchup they can in the postseason. And then they'll have a couple of days off before their series begins, thankfully, because of the play-in games. The play-in games will buy you a couple of days to recover and then get ready for the grind of the postseason.
Yeah, see, but at some point, like, it's going to become a time, and it's not going to be the last game of the season because they're three behind. So they may get locked into a spot. I'm saying,
yes. Okay. If you're asking me that, once I think there's no way of, like, if they can't get fourth and they won't, and they can't drop to six, I think they do call it off a little bit. I think they do back it off. But if you ask Randall, do you want to sit out or do you just want to play like maybe 20 minutes in the first half and then not the second half? He would tell you, I'd rather play 20 minutes in the first half and not instead of sitting out completely. Because you know how it is, Bart. If I told you, hey, Bart, I'm not going to play you this week and now it's 2 weeks without playing, you know you'll say to yourself, I need to stay in the rhythm a little bit, right?
I just wonder if the minutes are going to catch up to Julius Randle, who I think last time he played was at 34 minutes. Him and Hartenstein was both at 34 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, what's up with him? Yeah.
Let me answer that.
What's up with Mitchell Robinson? Hang on. What the hell are you talking about?
Let me answer that. I'll get to the Mitchell Robinson thing in a moment. The quick thing on Randle is this. This is the third year in a row he's played 70 games or more. Last year, he averaged more minutes per game than he's averaging this year. So he's not playing more than he has in the past. 2 years ago, he also played more. Like, he's actually playing slightly less. Not a big deal, but slightly less than he's played over the last couple of years. So while his minutes are high compared to everybody else in the league, for himself, this is where he's been throughout the last couple of years of his career. It's Brunson to me that they've got to get back on the court, and he's got to now stay healthy because they're clearly not the same team when he's not on the floor. But the positive thing is that you're getting something out of your bench, and that part's good. Now, the Mitchell Robinson thing, obviously, I was there. I was on the trip. And I noticed this about him. Against Sabonis, it was a very physical game against Sacramento. He was not effective. Sabonis is just too strong for him, and he was ineffective. He didn't play a lot. Against the Clippers, he was way more effective against their guys. Now, that was a physical game, but Mitchell Robinson was very effective getting rebounds in that game. He also was really around the rim. He was visible. Against the Lakers and Anthony Davis, that first half, he looked like he wanted no part of Anthony Davis. He looked intimidated. And I hate to say that about him, but it's true. He looked intimidated by Anthony Davis. He looked up several times instead of just going up strong. He normally will dunk on people. He was hesitant against a guy like that. And then against the Trailblazers, Yusef Nurkic, another big dude, you know, just a big, strong body. Early in that game, he looked like he had a hard time getting to anything. Then the game went up tempo, and the Knicks started running, and he got caught up in, you know, how he, think about it this way, Bart. You know, in some runs in the Y, the game is so fast that you run, you get to the foul line, turn around, have to run back to the other foul line. Now you run back to, like, I never can get the ball because I'm not fast enough to keep up with this, with the pace. He was getting caught, I always say, getting lost in the laundry a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that is frustrating. Now, him going to social media is clearly stupid. But it's how he expresses his frustration. He wants the world to almost know, oh, I know my numbers look bad, but it's not on me. It's because of this. I think it was getting to him that his numbers, he was averaging a double-double for a couple of games when he came back from the break, and now he's not. And I think he's more worried about perception of him than he is seeing what's really going on, which is this team's winning, and you are a part of it, but it might not be more, you know, like you might want more than what you're part of right now because they're playing a little more up-tempo. So they're going to have a talk with him and get his head right because they're obviously a better team when his head's right. But this wasn't a great trip for him at all.
I mean, all teams have – all players have those lulls where they just go through a stretch where they play bad and they feel insignificant. But if his attitude carries like that and they
better
can't
not
figure that out,
yep,
he's going to bring a team down. And listen, some players – and I'm not suggesting this about Mitchell Robinson. Some players rather lose it their way than to win somebody else's way.
That sucks. And you know what that is? Here's your example. Cam Reddish did not look good in that game for Portland. And Cam talked all about how comfortable he is in Portland because there's no pressure. Because I feel free. I don't feel like, you know, there's pressure on every shot. And while for young players, sometimes that's a good environment to be in because you want to find your game, it's not good because it means there's no urgency on you to be better. And that's what Tibbs demands out of his players, is you got to bring it every night. And if you're not bringing it, you're not going to play because there's always somebody else that's going to bring it. And so you saw that on display. Josh Hart came into that game. The Knicks had a terrible start to the game. They looked terrible. They couldn't make a shot. And Hart comes in the game and does what he always does, just ramps it up. The energy goes up. He's so, like Bart, he's so much like you when you played because – you could see a team of guys who are kind of standing still and guys that are kind of like in the huddle. And then there's you, and you're bouncing around. Like you're like, you know, you're like an atom, just bouncing around. Like you, ball of energy. And that's how he is. Every loose ball he got to, every rebound he gets to, fast break, run with me. Obi Toppin is a better player now off the bench. He's had a talk about it, who had a great trip. He had a great trip.
Yeah.
Because he got out in the break, and instead of just shooting those corner threes, now he's getting in transition where he's really effective, all because of one guy. And that's the difference of this team. You know, but so while you have that, and that's a positive, the Mitch thing, you know, I mean, that's something they've got to have they gotta have a talk with him. But boy, the difference between Josh Hart and Cam Reddish and why one fit and one didn't was on display in Portland on Tuesday night.
I think Cam is fit. He just, I think, maybe put too much pressure on himself for that game because he knew what it represented. And he had opened his mouth, and then he wrote a check that his ass couldn't cash.
Maybe. Can I also say this, though? So I had my last TV game of the season, at least the last one that was scheduled.
Last one scheduled for me.
Tuesday night. No, I mean, that's when Clyde is at his best, and then the Nationals take over. But still, I got to work with Mike Breen one more time. And it was like, it's just, I feel like it's fantasy. It's almost like Mike
Seemed
Breen
like
fantasy camp, you know,
like
where I got to sign up for Mike Breen fantasy camp and get to work a game with him. It's
make a wish.
Like, yeah, exactly. I almost felt like that. It was a charity, but it's so cool to be.
You did a good job, bro.
I appreciate it.
Sell yourself short.
No, my ad libs suck. I got to get better at that. My ad libs just, you know what, like when you just want to come up with something like really good and you just, like you know, everybody has catchphrases. I don't want to try too hard, but like when you're
they'll
describing
you
a play, you want
to
say something.
You just need more reps, so you can have your Hanisms.
Maybe, I don't know.
You should make all your Hanisms like spinoffs of Star Wars.
I got a bad feeling about this.
starting your comfort zone.
Well, the bottom line is that it's an incredible experience to be in the arena, courtside, in an intense game you know, just seeing it, hearing it, feeling it, and then obviously being able to be the voice of it next to, you know, one of the greatest of all time, obviously, in Mike Breen. Like, there's just something special about that. I got to work with Ed Cohen on Saturday. Another great experience. Ed's a pro.
Like the little, I like how y'all followed him around.
But that was a loss. But that was a loss, though, that game. It was a loss. You know, the win is the more exhilarating one, and that was in Portland. And so it's just cool. And I just wanted to make sure that I expressed the gratitude of it, because you know how I am. I'm never one to take anything for granted. And so an experience like this, I got to do 5 games on MSG TV, and 4 of them were with Mike Breen. And, you know, that is like dream come true kind of stuff that I probably will never do this again. Like, it's probably the one and only time I'll get to do this. Just had to do with scheduling and everything else. So fortunately, I got the opportunity to do it. And I just wanted to make sure that gratitude was expressed. And the fact that there's a lot of people out there that would dream to do things like this, I also did, and I got to do it. And it was just absolutely incredible. So
was it any hazing?
Luckily, no.
You have to go get the donuts?
No, I didn't have to do.
Yo, that would be a great drop for you. If somebody do something about the dunk, instead of doing that, you do the Chewbacca?
I can't do the Chewbacca. That's the problem. I can't do. But you're right, though. There could be a couple of lines. I did throw in an Aaron Rodgers, though. There was a fast break, and I think Hartenstein threw like a baseball, like a long pass down the court. Obi caught it for a layup, and I just threw in one of those, you know, a pass that Aaron Rodgers would appreciate. Touchdown, Obi Toppin.
And discount double check.
Kind of felt good about that one. I thought that was pretty timely.
Han Solo. I'm Captain of the Millennium Falcon.
I don't know if that would ever work. I don't think anybody cares. 800-919-3776.
The chosen
one. Ani is in Staten Island. Ani, what do we have?
What's going on, Alan Han? How are you?
Good. How
Bart,
are you?
You too. Been listening to you for about 23 years now, since I was 14. Now I'm 37.
Damn.
What a humbling experience to actually be listening to you next to Mike Breen. And, you know, I've always been thinking, like, you know, what's going to happen when Walt Clyde Frazier retires from commentating and Knicks have you to fall back on, which is awesome. It was great listening to you with Mike Breen. That's one of my takes. My other take is, would you trade Mitchell Robinson for Jalen Brunson? Donovan Mitchell for Jalen Brunson?
Would I trade Jalen Brunson for Donovan Mitchell?
Right now, at this point of the season.
No, of course not. No.
So you just think Brunson's a better fit for the Knicks than Donovan Mitchell would be? I know what he's saying. He's trying to say.
Yeah, how good he is. Better.
Yeah.
Yeah. And first of all, Ani, I appreciate the kind words and everything like that. But a straight up Jalen Brunson for Donovan Mitchell. Like, right, and he said at this point of the season, with 11 games to go, no, I would not do that. Now, I know Cleveland wouldn't do anything that the other way anyway, but I Brunson's importance to this team can't be overstated, cannot be overstated, what he brings. So I just want to get him, see him healthy these last 11 games, get this team where they right now, the bench, is, you can see the rotation, everything is worked out. Tom Thibodeau took most of the beginning of the season to figure out what he's got, put it together, and their record since that time, since he cut down the rotation, is insane. It's one of the best in the league. Like, they have the fifth, I think, the top 5 record in the league since he cut the rotation to 9. You cannot argue with what he's done with this team. And they are now set up to have a first-round matchup that could be favorable. We shall see.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, so we already have the first upset of March Madness.
What?
Yeah.
Usual suspects?
Poor Chris Canty.
Usual suspects, then.
Fourth-seeded Virginia.
Just can't get right.
Just went down to 13-seed Furman.
Where's Furman? Is that an online college and the team play virtually? They practice virtually.
That's wrong.
They all over the country. They practice the 3-man weave online in the metaverse.
They do it all in the metal.
Damn, man! Since Virginia
South
been
Carolina.
Taking some tough L's in the last decade. They
that's
were
a
one
bad one.
Took the L.
Mm. Yeah, that's a rough one. So, A 13 seed takes out a 4 seed, and the NCAA tournament has begun. You know what's going on right now, though? It's the Islanders' 50th anniversary season, and it's continuing. They got a win last night over the Ducks. That was important after the loss to the Kings, so the Islanders would win last night. So they have celebrations and giveaways all season long at UBS Arena. It's actually pretty cool. They have all these bobbleheads that they do every game. It's awesome. Butch Goring one coming up pretty soon. So ESPN New York wants to make you part of this historic season. You can enter to win 2 free tickets to see the Islanders face off against the Buffalo Sabres on March 25th. Just download the ESPN New York app, scroll to contests, and then submit your entry. For full contest rules, go to ESPNNewYork.com. Be sure to visit NewYorkIslanders.com for team news, tickets, and more. And catch every Islanders game live on the Islanders stream. Heard only on the ESPN New York app. All right, 800-919-3776 is the number, Bart Scott. And K-Show's coming up in just about 2 minutes, and they're going to have all your wall-to-wall coverage. They'll keep an eye on all the March Madness that has begun today. And obviously the Edwin Diaz fallout, as he is now out for the season. You'll hear from Billy Epler and everything else on that show. So you want to keep it locked in right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Let's go to Wreck-It Ralph right quick.
You want to go to Wreck-It Ralph real quick?
Wreck-It Ralph. Wreck-It Ralph, right, what up?
What's up, Ralph?
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Kuta Matatos.
I just wanted to get your thoughts on as far as which team has more leverage between the Jets and the Packers. I just feel like the Packers lost all leverage after yesterday. I don't see any team that's going to try to deal for A-Rodge and giving up any type of assets for him. And also, if you think about it, if the season starts tomorrow, you're not going to hold $60 million on your bench. And you're not going to keep him on your team to be a distraction. And now you're going to lose, you know, opportunities to sign different players as well during the free agent. So now leverage is on the Jets side.
Yeah, I think when you think about it from the Jets' perspective, like they can try and self-sabotage and then get him, Rodgers, well, we're going to hold him back so you don't get the continuity that you need. But before OTAs even start, they can go out there and have like the old Jet South or West or wherever the hell he is, wherever Black Hole or Costa Rica, wherever he is. So they can do that, you know, and me, because he already knows the offense. So he knows how to go out and get these guys coached up. And what they'll probably do is make a late OTA so then after June 2nd, they can have some of their main OTAs to start it later so they can get 2 full camps in with Aaron Rodgers there to kind of get some chemistry.
Yeah, just, again, as we said, those receivers should get together and say wherever he is, we're going there. Don't even worry about the whole idea of him coming in, all that stuff. We already know what that's going to be about. Compensation has to be done. The trade has to be eventually finished. And once it all is done, Aaron Rodgers will be a Jet. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.